Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Gab Wireless. Gab exists to give parents the best of both worlds, a phone with everything a kid needs and none of the stuff they don't. Go to gabwireless.com and use promo code Dustin or follow the link in the episode description to get $10 off an upcoming order. Gab Wireless, safe phones for kids. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the east wall of our studio slash our daughter's bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hello.
We are here. She has reoriented her life. Not her life, but her beanbag chair. Slash, what do we call these right here? These, you know, the little things
like
that couples put in their bed so they can read at night because they're a thousand. It's like a pillow with arms.
It's like a reading pillow. They sell them in the college dorm section.
You've seen a lot of these in dorms.
That's where we bought these.
We combo it with a beanbag chair.
Because our beanbags are old.
Are oldish.
I mean, after a
yours
year,
is leaking.
After a year, they don't fluff up anymore.
Beanbags aren't meant to have lasting power.
Are
they are not
them,
the kitchen table. They're not, you know, something that you're like, this is a thing that we have.
It's a short-term chair.
It is made of oak that lasts, and it's symbolic of our family. It's not. Mm. It's symbolic of my family and that it fell apart early. But it is not meant to. It's not meant to last. Anyways, off the rails already.
It's really a statement piece.
It is a statement piece. But Melissa has reoriented. Normally, we sit parallel to one another, and now you're looking at me.
I don't. Well, that way I don't have to turn.
It's fine. I don't look at you during the podcast. I don't I gaze at you all day long. I believe I said to you last night as you wore short shorts, eyes on the thighs is a new little catchphrase.
High waist shorts when you sit down.
Yeah. And as we were at the beach today, I even saw some pieces that I recommended to you. Which
some
is
swimsuits,
you know, the least creepy. We'll talk about our beach day here in a second. But I think I was a very, you know, I was nice on you because women's bathing suits, much more of a challenge than men's.
They evolve.
The only thing about men's is determining the length, because the patterns in that, that's more
like
taste
the mid thigh or the low thigh
or high is big. High. Yeah. But back when I was a kid, it was low.
The floral board shorts.
As exactly. The lower, the better. Like basketball shorts. Yep. Basketball shorts do the same thing. Shorts in general. Long.
Suits, too, were the bigger,
right,
the better.
Right, which we got our wedding in May. We made that joke. It hit us at the same time today, or this earlier this week. We were thrift shopping, and we saw like a suit, and I was like, you know what I'm going to need when we go to a wedding in May, Lord willing, vaccination and all, is a new suit, because I wear a suit so rarely that every time I have to wear the suit style has changed.
Absolutely.
Tight, loose, gray, black.
Gray one.
Gray,
black one.
Which you hate it. But
I did hate that
suit. I was officiating a wedding and the bride asked me to wear a gray.
Yeah. What happened was
I gotta shed some LBs. That's a motivation. You know, I gotta look good in a suit.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. But as the story goes, Claire didn't wear a lot of shoes. She still doesn't.
Right.
And
right.
She was running around a suit store that has like pins all over the floor without shoes.
Right.
Because
I remember that.
We had to take Claire with us to try on your suit.
I also remember
that.
And
that
he showed me the first one and I was like, oh, this is nice. And then he mentioned the price and it was like $1,000 too much. And then he took me to like the rack.
Yep. And he was also like 70.
Here's the thing.
And that was a really bad sign.
When you go to suit shopping, there are suit guys. Like, that's their world.
Yeah, they wear
suits.
One every day.
They wear suits every day. Suit fashion is their thing. And suits are like dead. Like, you wear them on occasion.
Yes.
But less and less jobs require them.
Like a band concert.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, obviously like high fashion it is, but like, you know, like you used to like have to wear a suit to fly, you know, like
you wear a suit to your like all your interviews.
You wear a suit
your
to go to the
interviews.
Bank. You know,
yeah.
you
Yeah. Like, to fly to, yep.
So now it's like, you're like, every 2.5 years, not I go to a wedding, I'm in a wedding.
You're in the wedding party.
I mean, yeah. Well, I'm, and that's the, and I'm not renting a tux. I'm officiating.
You're usually officiating.
Aaron and Lucy's Lucy's wedding.
I mean, honestly, like, West Coast weddings.
So cash.
It's like.
Oh, the best.
I'm not even joking. Every wedding, our wedding, whatever, guys are just in like floral Hawaiian shirts.
There are so many flip flops.
Some people
at
wear
summer weddings.
Shorts.
Shorts and flip flops.
Yeah.
I think I have. Have I not?
I don't think I...
You probably wouldn't allow it, but I have worn...
I mean, you had years where you only wore flip-flops.
I think I've worn khakis, flip-flops, and a shirt, like a collared shirt, you
Sometimes
know?
The groomsmen do that. Yeah, so it's
now
just...
it's an excuse to doll up a little bit. It's like, I see Melissa with, you know... you don't go straight hair anymore. If you want to see Melissa with straight hair, you have to look at her senior picture. Guys, we are not here to talk about suits and straight hair. We are here to talk about date nights. Before we get into date nights, though, I want to tell you guys, a lot of you folks sent me some nice DMs, sent us some messages on Facebook or wherever it may be, or some emails that you really enjoyed hearing about our dysfunctional marriage and our various fights, and that it resonated with you. And I therefore would decide earlier today, we decided to kick off a fighting in marriage, couples fighting. We'll come up with a brand. I want to talk to a lot of different couples about their fights. And so I'm reaching out to some previous guests that we've had. I'm reaching out to some therapists. I'm reaching out to some comedians. I'm watching out to some couples that I know have been in a relationship for a long time, or some newer ones, just to hear about how they handle fights, maybe some of the glory fights, the best, the worst, the ugliest, maybe if any of those husbands have been punched in the stomach, any of that. So we can do a series. I think it's probably going to be somewhere between 4 and 8 episodes. I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's fluid.
You know me, I like to feel these things out. I don't, you know, like a fight, there's no winning. you just go in it and you see, you know, so what I would like from you guys, you know, this will go as well as you backseaters make it. So what I want to hear, questions, stories, advice, how you guys are handling it. Give us some of your worst ones. Maybe if you're really working through an actual issue right now, and that'll be one of the ones we can do some bad marriage advice, because we do a lot of bad parenting, maybe some bad marriage advice, but also on, you know, we'll reach out to some of our therapist friends and talk to them on how they might, maybe we can actually help some people. We'll see.
Okay.
Not for me.
Now, you could also do family members fights if you,
absolutely,
you know,
conflict
your
in general.
Your aunt, your uncle, your grandpa, your grandma,
exactly.
Your mom, your dad.
Yeah.
Your kids.
So shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com and let us know and stay tuned. Starting
You know what?
As early as next week.
You should get Oprah on.
I should get Oprah and Michelle Obama. I think if I could get the two of them.
An open panel together
in
person with both of them. Yeah.
This should just be a marriage advice podcast.
We're calling it.
It would be a better podcast. It would be more guided, but you can't keep me focused. I'm sorry.
Nope. I know that.
Anyways, folks. the screws are returning right now. But the this is what it's like being married to me, and that I go to Melissa, what should we do this? Should we just cancel everything and re-up this podcast? Didn't I have an idea earlier? Like I had like a name or something.
You have a new catchphrase.
I do have a new catchphrase around the house, which is nobody told me that. And it's very subtle because I've said it 4 or 5 times and you haven't caught that.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Nobody told me that. So shoot us those emails, everybody. Today, like I said, we got two objectives. We got two things we got to get to today. One, we want to talk about date nights, because that's a couple thing that people talk about all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then two, we want to, we got so many listener emails. We got to get to some emails. So we're going to do a little bit of date night stuff, and then we're going to do a little bit of emails. So that'll be a total grab bag at the end.
Great.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're itching. Because I'm pretty sure somebody asked for the chicken tortilla soup recipe. And that's a high compliment to Melissa. But I think somebody also might have given you a mashed potato recipe.
Yes.
So we'll dive into all that later. Big tease. I'm a real professional here.
Wow. Stick around for the end.
Here's why I wanted to talk about date nights. One thing that Melissa and I have said before and will say a million times more is we cannot give advice on a relationship. Cannot give you therapeutic advice. We cannot tell you what to do in a situation. I think we have a strong, healthy marriage, and I'm very grateful for that. But I feel increasingly always more and more frustrated when people ask questions that I go, I don't know. I don't know how to help you, because all we know is our relationship, right?
Yeah.
All we know, mm-hmm. it's why marriage
well,
books
and like
are
our friends, but.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. But they don't. They're
that's theirs.
Their situation.
Not ours.
It's my bit that I do on stage of the sharing the blanket that was in the special Overwhelmed on Amazon Prime, $4.99 to rent, $9.99 to own. It's that right there. I don't know. Like you, some people say it's so important that you share a blanket. And then I hear other people say that they sleep in different rooms. I don't know. Whatever works. You're two uniquely different people trying to figure it out, trying to make two adults figure a life together somehow. Right. It's impossible. So I don't like marriage books. It's why, if it helps you, great. Fantastic. You know, like one of the ones that a friend recommended to us most, there's this whole book called Love and Respect. And the basic premise of this book was that women want to be loved and guys want to be respected. And I remember
and then
being
you get
like
in the crazy cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I want to be loved.
Yeah.
Like I would. It's more important to me to feel valued and adored through love and affection than respected. I don't care about respect. You know,
I want to be understood.
And you want to be understood. That's what I'm saying. And so now, did I read this book? No. But that's because someone understood, explained to me the thesis of the book.
It worked for them.
And it worked for them, which is great. And it worked for the couple that wrote that. But it's how could you, who has the audacity to go, this is what men want, and this is what women want, and this is da da da, and this is how this works, and this is, and you know, it doesn't make any sense. But one of the things that we have heard, I don't know why it is. I don't know why this is the thing that people tell you.
I think in modern church, but go ahead.
I think it's way more than just church circles. Yeah.
I don't know what you're gonna say.
Date night is the key,
and they go, it's sacred.
It's
sacred.
It's sacred. Like they're going into the temple.
Yeah.
Like you have to cover your eyes. You can't look directly at the date night. It's the holy of holies.
Yeah.
Date night is sacred. We have to, they talk about it like it's Sabbath or something, you know, like guys, it's you and your spouse going out on a date. Now, principles of date night are great, right? What are the principles of date night? Why
do
people
prioritize your relationship?
Yeah, exactly. So when people say, hey man, what do you think? What's important? What's this important night? Date nights, they say date nights. Right, like you got to go out, you got to prioritize, get away from the kids.
Yeah, take a break or have fun together.
I think there's also like probably they're like, it's trying to like remember what it was like early on.
Yeah, that's another one of those like date your spouse.
Right.
That's a hashtag movement, whatever.
Melissa is a real social influencer.
Yeah.
A hashtag movement, whatever. Or what's your favorite one? Beat
50%.
Beat 50%. So condescending.
I don't like that one.
Why not in your attempt to have a good marriage, divorce shame?
Yeah.
That's helpful. Hey, things are good for me. Let's make others feel. It's like, it's, I mean, not to go, it's not the exact same, but it's, I've heard a lot of people who talk about people who have cancer and cancer survivors. Like, it's not that some people beat cancer and other people lost to cancer.
Yes.
It does what it does. And similarly, in a relationship, you didn't win if you made your marriage work, you know, because I know a lot of very unhappy marriages that are losing, you know, and, you know, and sometimes a divorce is the best thing, you know, so I don't like, it's very similar, like these broad sweeping terms are very unhelpful.
I'm sure, you know, they want people to be happy in their marriages, but it comes across as very
condescending.
Shameful.
So condescending. Beat the 50%. You're not competing against other couples.
Or statistics.
You know what that reminds me of is when we were very young and married, and it was felt very competitive. When your friend groups all kind of start getting married, it feels competitive. What's your apartment like? How much sex are you having? You know, like what?
Did you make the crust on your?
Who got the
pot pie?
It feels very, very competitive and very petty.
I think it can be like with first children, you're like, oh, but he's walking.
Right. Yes.
He can read.
Yeah. That's coming from a way big. I mean, it's like
insecurities.
We tell our 13-year-old boy, if you can only get a laugh by bringing other people down, then you've got some reflection to do on you. Right. Like, don't get me wrong. Real fun to make fun of people. But a lot of people don't want to get made fun of.
Right.
For example, Claire,
little
our youngest
sisters. Little sisters don't like to be the butt of the joke.
Right. Yeah. So for whatever reason, those are all the reasons that people, I think what it is the reason that, you know, people like are struggling or they just, like, people want, and this is your least favorite thing. Maybe this is why you're so anti-date night. It's a band-aid, right? Like it's a, they just throw it at you.
It's a formula. I don't like formulas.
Right.
If you have a bunch of little kids and no money, that is very overwhelming.
That's a great point. Date night is a total luxury. It assumes that you can
extra time, extra money.
Money for the date and the child care.
The babysitter. Yep.
And or family support, which you may or may not have.
Or your kids don't cry at the door the whole time you're gone.
And or you're not working, because I think when that was maybe being shoved down our throats the most, I was working two jobs and you were working a job and we were trying not to lose a house that we shouldn't have bought. We lost the house, but not the marriage. And
so we did win.
And there were no date nights during that time.
Sometimes it's just like, do you want us to eat or do you want us to, sit at a restaurant and go into debt? I don't know.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little much.
Well,
There's extenuating circumstances.
There are extenuating circumstances. And what you don't like is that people just throw it at you like it'll fix everything because your desire is to be understood. And what people aren't understanding in that is you're like, well, I don't necessarily want to do what you want to do. And that's a good part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. When we were first married, we were living in a very like white collar part of a city.
We were living in Kirkland, Washington. We were living in the shadow of Microsoft.
Yep.
So many software developers, people were doing well.
Yeah, they're very affluent area. And everyone's like, go to Canalys, go to the Salage Law and Gym Spa. There's a Groupon.
Yeah.
You get a Costco, a gift card pack.
And you're like, oh, no, but I can't afford to go to Costco.
Yeah.
That's.
I don't have.
Do they. Yeah.
Do they take food stamps at
Costco? No, we weren't on food stamps yet, but that
I'm joking.
Took a pandemic.
I'm just saying, actually, most truthfully, like eating out is not our thing.
Well, okay, so
that's not helpful for our relationship.
No. So let's unpack this a little bit. So date night comes from a great heart. Prioritize your relationship. Get some time away from the kids. Remember what it was like when you had to try a little. You got dressed up. You put on some cologne. You made some plans. You put something on the calendar. You did those. It's a thing. You were out. You have to talk intentionally. You're not feeding anything.
You're not distracted.
You're only feeding yourself. The only mouth that you are is you. Mm-hmm. That is an important thing. Usually what people are saying there is go to dinner. And we don't like going to dinner. We are not dinner people.
No.
I get distracted. It's an ADD nightmare.
So distracted.
Because I used to work in a restaurant, but I don't do that anymore. When we were younger, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to bust the table because I was stupid, you know? But I'm just like, you go to a restaurant.
It's very distracting. It's so distracting. There's
TVs. There's noise. There's people. It's like the beach. We're at the beach today and it's just distracting. There's no focus. There's a million people, a lot of skin out, all types of skin. There's this kid over here swimming in his jeans. Yeah. That's hilarious. You've got the wetsuit people. You got the guy in the European bathing suit. Mm-hmm. There was, when I was over on the playground, the girl.
We're like, is that the aunt?
The
or
girl
the
who I recommended her bathing suit was because I got a good look at it. because she hung upside down.
I think it was an aunt.
She was not on the monkey bars.
She stood on the swing.
She was standing on the swing, smiling and singing. And I was like, are you well? But she not like, how do I explain this? So she did not.
She was at eye level.
Okay. She's in a two-piece bathing suit. And she doesn't, it's not like she put her legs over a bar and hung upside down. So you know that thing on the, that playgrounds have where your kid grabs it and you push them and they slide? You know, yeah. it's like a zip line. It's like a mini zip line.
A tiny zip line.
And she got on that.
No, she didn't.
And just put her feet up to her head. I'm right in front of her, 12 o'clock. She's in a bathing suit.
It's very cheeky.
I saw her whole crotch. All of it.
Did she swing then?
And she didn't swing. She just hung for a while.
Did someone push me?
And smile. Yeah, because she was with a kid who was on the swing still. And and I was like, I like that bathing suit. I got a good look at it. Not intentionally. I wasn't out there like, I'm not creeping at the beach.
The beach playground.
I'm sitting here playing Follow the Leader. With Claire, and she led me into that chamber.
That's weird.
It was so weird. It was, yeah, you know, it's either one of those things.
A little much.
When you see this person at the park, and if you go to the park, because we were at La Jolla Shores, and there's the beach, and the reason we go there is beach, and then the park is right there, like right on the other
bathrooms,
side. Bathrooms, it's great. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bougie. We would wish there was a better coffee option near there. Which is unfortunate. But beach
community. So it's like a 99%.
Yeah. 88. Yeah, you don't have a good coffee nearby. Great. Thankfully, San Diego has great coffee. Beach towns don't have great coffee. It's not their thing.
No.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, you are either the most like happy-go-lucky, free person. You're so happy and you're full of life. Or you have an insufferable need for attention.
To do that.
Exactly. And I'm going to assume one. I'm going to assume you're just this happy person. Because then she went over and then she started doing some like pull-ups, which is a classic thing you see. And then I know she had like a tattoo. And I was like, oh, you're like CrossFit mom. You know?
I'm still holding out that this was an aunt or a babysitter.
Well, you know what? People used to think that of you, Melissa. Yeah.
Not anymore.
You used to be the young one at the park that everyone had to assume was an aunt.
Well, good for her.
And now they think you're a mom on the younger side, but they know mom.
Oh, yeah. The eyes give it away.
It's the bags under the eyes. It's the
stress.
How did we get there? I don't know. So
we're talking about date night.
We're talking about date night. The distraction. It's a distracting thing. The beach is distracting. Yeah. The restaurant is distracting. You don't talk at a movie. When we were young and falling in love, we go to coffee shops and thrift stores, and that's still what we do. We did that yesterday, Friday. We went and got coffee, and it was delightful. And then we went and bought a rug. Because we needed a rug,
because
I posted a video and 30 comments clowned on our rug.
Yep.
And now we'll probably get some new chairs because people were making fun of that too, depending on what is open. We're heading to that Salvation Army in El Cajon that I saw that's still open. Remember we drove by that the other day and you said that's where you get the chairs?
It's in Santee.
Yeah, we'll go. Yeah. All right, we'll see about that. And then we went to Goodwill. That's what we do. That's our, and so we have our own version of it.
Yeah. It's better for us to like walk and talk. The yes. talking is better when we're walking
right.
and kind of doing something else.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But we don't make a date. We don't say the time.
No.
We don't like a Friday night or Sager. Granted, I've never worked a job where this was an option. Maybe that's what it was. Like, I've never had a job where there isn't a chance I'm going to be working. Like,
yeah.
There's never been a job where I didn't work at least one Friday or Saturday night a month, if not every Friday and Saturday
or
night a month.
Or every holiday.
Or every single holiday. All
You've
the holidays.
Worked every holiday.
I don't know. Have I worked
yeah.
on Christmas Day?
You have. You worked at the movie theater on Christmas.
Well, yeah. Were we even together?
Yes.
We were dating.
You I'm just gonna, saying,
You weren't
going to
spend Christmas Day with
then
me.
I bet you worked at Starbucks on Christmas. Because you would. You would work
yeah.
this Christmas morning.
I hate that dog next door.
I know. I do too. That our kitchen door's open. That's why we can hear it. But
oh. It's not even...
It's... The Airbnbers, they kind of moved back in with their dog.
Yes.
And he just barks all day.
All right, so
and we have two cats.
We have a Vietnamese so. Neighbor. So for my Trumpers on the podcast, you're going to love this. He every day, every time he sees me, takes an opportunity to tell me that America is becoming
yeah.
communist Vietnam.
Yes.
And I go, yeah, okay. I don't agree
you
or disagree.
You were putting up the Christmas lights.
I was putting up the Christmas lights
off.
And he went off.
Yeah.
He went off.
Yep.
It's awesome. But it did kind of make me go, oh, yeah. I mean, you would know more than me on this.
Clearly, he has a lot of like traumatic experiences
right.
from Vietnam.
Right.
And yeah, some of the parallels are there. Yeah.
yeah.
So,
well, particularly in California
guy,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're still operating.
Well,
so.
That's the thing. We all, there's no such thing as not being biased. And that man has. Two Airbnbs on
At
this
least.
Street. He has two on this street.
Yeah.
And
just he owns one
missed
too.
A San Diego summer of Airbnbs.
Spring and summer, yeah.
Hemorrhaging.
Whole year. Yeah, whole
and,
year.
And Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But
no, but he still has.
Been,
he's
but
still
not as
using
often.
It, but
not as often.
Yeah. Maybe he's got like an Airbnb B
yeah.
website that you can, you know, like a little off the grid. Because Airbnb,
I think that's called Craigslist,
closing down. Like they're not letting.
Are they not letting you rent right now?
They're restricting owners
oh,
from renting.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're well, that's just gonna make. DC, they did it in Big Bear.
It's just gonna make you know. For some shady, shady stuff right there.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, date nights in the traditional sense are not for us. But what we were saying, like what we did on Friday, where it was just nice to go out again, coffee,
yeah,
thrift store, bought a rug. Did a
uh-huh.
thing. Even
yeah.
if we wouldn't have bought anything, it doesn't matter. The fact is that you're out. It would take
uh-huh.
a wrong turn. Doesn't matter. No wrong turns on date night. Date
no.
afternoon. We were gone for a couple hours in the middle of the day. And
3 hours.
We have no,
yeah.
we don't have a good childcare. It's a pandemic. There's not, that's a, I guess that's the thing. Like if your like key to marriage advice doesn't work, like because of the pandemic or because you don't have money, like it can't be. Date night is not an end-all, be-all, fixed thing. Just chill with your date night.
You can have a date night and still be very unhappy.
You can also have a date night and not post about it. Would love that. You know you can go to on vacation and not post about it?
Really?
We can do that. Yeah. Oh. I know that's your thing.
I know.
But we went to Kauai and did post about it, so.
I didn't. I know.
I'm a mess.
That's,
I have some misguided moralism.
No, I just... It felt like bragging. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 100%. I saw a comedian friend of mine, not a friend of mine, just a comedian. He posted about like during the DC riots, he was in Hawaii, and he was like, "Sometimes you just like gotta get away." Da da da. And people were like, "It must be nice, buddy." Like, first off, you're not even supposed to be doing
yeah.
that. Everybody has a line. Like,
absolutely.
Everybody has yeah. some little line that they broke. You know, that you're like, "Yeah, I know. I probably." Shouldn't do that, but I do want to go to that farmer's market. So,
yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
So, yeah, pandemic makes it even harder.
It's impossible.
You know?
Yeah. You know, it's expensive? Yeah. Childcare. And you know what? People don't always have family in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it's just, it's a total luxury. Now,
yeah.
The fact that our kids are getting older,
Nice. It helps a little.
Nice. Yeah. I know. I am, you know, pretty soon we're going to have to be paying Joel to watch the two kids and my dad. We're going to be paying Joel just to be on. He's going to be Grandpa's life alert. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, let me ask you this, Melissa.
Yes.
Okay. And I want to hear from you guys as well. And maybe this will tie into some of the fighting comments. And, you know, shoot us a note or two on this. I want to know, you know, are you the sacred date night person? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Why is it important to you? Tell me, rebuke me in my sin here if I'm wrong here. But Melissa, what, building from the principle of what date night stands for, you know, like prioritizing the two of you, what do you think we do? You know, like I would say we definitely like, we don't let the kids stay up super late so that we can have time together at night. You know, like we, like things like that where you're like, no, we need time where it's just us. Or we'll go on a full on trip without them sometimes, which I know some families don't do.
The nature of your work allows that. But yeah, we definitely leave the kids.
We did
overnight.
4 days in New York without them. You know, yeah, we do one nighters. Yeah. We've done some one nighters during this time. You know, we may have a couple more coming up. I don't know. So that's the same idea. What are necessarily, are there like, I'm trying to think like, are there like smaller things in the day where we're essentially saying, we were, you know, date your spouse, prioritize time, just the two of you.
Well, some people do this. We've just done this during quarantine stuff is like the neighborhood runs.
We exercise together.
You
know? Yes.
You started them with Joel.
Yes.
And then he kind of fizzled out and now he's doing other sports.
Right.
So we were just like, oh, well, we'll do this.
It wasn't
we'll
that he fizzled out. It was that I was like, hey, I'd rather do this with you. So that's probably an example, honestly.
Well, he got really into skateboarding.
Yes.
And so he had an outlet.
Yes.
And yeah, and to finish the school day, like the homework and the assignments with the girls, I was like, I'm counting down the minutes till we can go run. You know?
Yeah.
And just like debrief
the
either
the
news cycle.
The closer we get to the run time, the more stressed you get.
The news cycle or the workload or the school stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best thing that we could do is like shed a little of that stress.
Yeah.
You know, and chat a little bit.
I think, and it is nice to be, feel free to like leave them, you know?
Yeah. They're okay for a little bit.
I think one of the reasons too, that we like feel safe to do that is because of their Gab wireless phones. Did you see it coming? No, not at all.
I felt like you slowed down your pace a little.
Yes, because I was figuring out how to work it in there.
What are you going
to
say?
Guys, I would love to just take an opportunity here to tell you about our friends at Gab Wireless. Big, big fans, everybody at Gab Wireless. Here's what Gab Wireless does. It provides you a safe phone for your kid, is what it does. Melissa, tell them why you love Gab. We'll just go rapid fire. Okay. I love Gab because they can text their friends.
Rapid fire? Okay.
Yeah, I say a thing, you say a thing.
All right. I love Gab because they don't take my phone. It's like, I'm gonna FaceTime Cammy 30 minutes later. Oh, she wasn't available, so I text every friend in your address book.
Mm-hmm. And I watch 7 YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Gab because they have a phone that we don't have to monitor. Because the phone...
There's no internet
access.
There's
no internet access, guys. Mm-hmm. No apps.
No apps.
No, no internet. No social media.
You can get on the internet with every app
in
your phone.
They're still
no way around it.
They're still doing distance learning. They're on laptops all day long. The last thing I needed them is like, hey, and here's some internet in your pocket. I know the internet was at your fingers. Right there. Here's what a Gab phone is, everybody. It's everything you want on a phone and nothing that you don't. That's why we love the Gab Wireless. But we also think it's important that they, especially right now when they're away, that they can talk to their friends, that they can call them and text them. And that's great. It's fun. We, in every sense, I've thought about that the other day when I saw Gloria up there texting in her bed. I was like, this is perfect. You can still stay in touch. you can be the little middle school girl that you are and be all catty and gossipy and talking crap about your friends to each other and hope you don't accidentally send it to the wrong person. All the stuff that I think most middle school girls are going through right now, but none of the other stuff, none of the social media. Oh, it's dreamy, dreamy. Mm-hmm. And guys, here's the thing. We got a little promo code for you.
Yes. You're not like, that it's that expensive.
It's already cheap, but you're like, man, I want that to be $10 cheaper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the answer for you. You're going to go to gabwireless.com and you're going to use promo code Dustin. That's it. Or if you're like, I can't use promo code Dustin, I'm going to forget promo code Dustin. Well, we have a link in the episode description right here. Just click that.
Perfect.
Then you're there. That's it. All right, everybody. Gab Wireless, safe phones for kids.
Hey.
I think that there's their slogan, but even if it's not, I made it up and I think it's really good.
It's a good jingle.
It is safe phones for kids. You got to make it fade. All right, guys, we have so many emails to get to. Let's get to them. Ready?
All right.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so here we go. You know, sometimes it's hard to remember which ones you've done and not. Here we go. First one right here.
Right. It's a little bit of a mess.
This is from Ryan.
Okay.
This is a quick one from Ryan. Hey, Dustin, just watched your new comedy special last night. Good stuff. Being in my mid-30s as well, I appreciate the comedic honesty and new bits on being a dad. Sorry that guy fell asleep on you. Shame on him. Happy holidays, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. I do have a comedy special on Amazon called Overwhelmed. $4.99 rent, $9.99 buy. It's in the link below as well.
The audio is out on Thursday.
Ding, ding.
The audio album.
Oh, yeah. The album comes out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. 22nd.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope that's Thursday.
I wonder if that'll be available on Gab Wireless. I'm not sure.
It will not.
Nope. Here we go.
I think I did the math wrong, but okay.
This one is from Cindy. Subject, Summer Beach House. Did we read this one?
I don't think so.
Dustin, listening to you talk about your lake house had me saying, that's just like my beach house so many times. My great-grandparents had a house 3 blocks from Folly Beach in Charleston, South Carolina. We did or didn't do this
nice.
One? No, okay.
So.
My grandfather built a house out of cement blocks sometime in the 70s. This is exactly what my dad did.
Yes.
At least I'm pretty sure it was the 70s based on the neon green / yellow paint that was on the walls of the show front room. Ours had a bright green carpet.
Wasn't yours an A-frame?
No.
Oh,
the house had a small kitchen leading into the living room. It's true. Attached on that were 2 small bedrooms, each with a bathroom. And by bathroom, I mean toilet, sink, small shower. One had a queen bed and a single for my great grandparents on the other. That's awesome. The other two had queens and a single. This is big. Our house had the one and then a series of trailers. No, remember there was always trailers.
Uh-huh.
Then the front room
loft.
Was the porch, the length of the house that had cement blocks, the bottom half, and windows for the top. We routinely slept 40 people around 20 kids and 20 adults every 4th of July. I think we got close to 40 at ours.
Yeah.
With 10 or so local family members coming to socialize during the day. This is very similar
to what
we had.
That's the exact same house and setup.
Yeah, we had probably 3 pull-out couches, 3 regular ones, and lots of mattresses just piled up on the beds during the day. Then night would come, and we'd haul the mattress off and throw them on the floor, leaving only small paths to go to the bathroom. That's not what ours was like. There was even a mattress between the kitchen table and living room. So while the adults were loudly playing cards and laughing, you'd be on the mattress getting scolded to go to sleep every time you talk to your cousin right beside the loud adults. Go to bed. Every morning, the kids would walk to the beach with the first adult who would take us, yes, and stay until the last adult would watch us there. We'd come back to an outside shower with icy cold to bathe and make sure all the sand was off before we go inside. As you might imagine, there was almost always a squabble over the boys peeking in at the girls while we were bathing. Yep.
Uh-huh.
First time I saw a naked girl. My sister brought a friend. We also played a lot of cards. Kids, adults, I don't know how many decks we had in the house. The beach house was
as
also...
As many as mattresses.
Yeah, the beach house was there where I found out I had 2 homosexual great uncles. In middle school, I made some of the off-the-cuff remark about something being gay, only for my mom to tell me that I couldn't say that to him. When I was like, why? She told me because he was gay. I remember that too. That's when I found out we had a gay cousin. I was floored. He brought his partner every year, but my sisters and I just thought, we bring our friends, he brings his. Yeah. Later, I found out that this had been a source of drama as Granny let him sleep with his partner on the couch, but would not let our heterosexual great uncle sleep with his girlfriend.
Yes. Grandma's rules.
Anyways, thanks for sharing your experiences, and I hope this gave you a laugh. It gave her several laughs. Thank you, Cindy. Great. Ours was very similar, but it was tense. There were a lot of tense.
Mm-hmm.
And
the screaming went on all night.
All night. All night. When you woke up in the morning, it was not about what adult was up first.
You to
it
the
was
beach.
About what was still up. It was great. Next one right here. This is from Abigail. Subject, bad parenting question. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. My daughter, Ren, just turned one a few months ago. She isn't talking too much besides screaming, Ma and Wow. However, she barks at everything. She's obsessed with dogs and cats, gets super excited when she sees one. We had a kid be a dog for a
long
time.
We actually had two kids be a dog.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
I think that she thinks she is one because every time we try to practice talking with her, she just barks back at us. She understands words can sign and can sign a few, but she refuses to say them. How do I get my kid to stop barking and stop talking like a person? I'm sorry. How do I get my kid to stop barking and start talking like a person? It's super cute, but it's one of those things that when she gets a little older, it's only going to keep getting more concerning. I've attached a video for evidence. I wish I had that, but Abby, you did not put the video. Maybe Ren was barking in the background. And you forgot to send the video, Abby. Melissa, how to get your kid to stop barking?
Well, Abby.
Abby and Ren.
I named my daughters their puppy names.
Yeah. That's right. We just,
and then just went along with it.
Right.
Now, they were a little older.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like throw them the frisbee and stuff. They would bring it back to me.
Yeah.
They would fetch.
Yeah. Do you think Ren's first kid?
I do.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. And this was my second and third kid.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever.
Yeah. My, my good and bad parenting advice, who cares?
It's a phase.
It's a phase. They'll get out of it by the time they're eight or nine, hopefully.
They will embarrass you in other ways socially.
Once they start talking, you will wish they were barking.
Barking, absolutely. Take barking any day.
I wish two of my kids only barked at each other. It sounds like they bark at each other.
Yeah.
It's just more biting.
Yeah, hurtful.
Yeah, exactly. There's no bark, just bite now, is what it is.
Actual biting.
A more practical thing I would probably suggest is one of those electric collars that shocks them when they bark. So either
there's the terrible parenting
deal
advice.
With it, or they'll get over it, or the electric collar.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this was helpful.
We named Gloria Fuzzies.
Fuzzies.
She had really poofy curly hair.
She would walk to school. Like she would, right?
She would pant and put her paws up.
Adorable. Yeah. Adorable.
Her gymnastics teachers called her Fuzzies.
Fuzzies.
And then Claire was Marshall from Paw Patrol.
That's right. For a long time. We'd go pick them up.
We had a dog food bowl for them.
I don't remember that, but I worked the road a lot. So. I think you might have done that when I wasn't home.
It was from the dollar store.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to do that part.
But you don't have to not do it. Okay.
I think we used it for a puppy party.
We did a puppy party.
We had a couple dog themed birthday parties.
Well, Gloria has since moved on to cat. She doesn't pretend to be a cat, but she's a cat lover now.
Yeah.
Okay. So our 6-year old pretends to be a poom. We have mythical creatures now. She pretended to be the poom universe is expanding. It's huge. It's like the Marvel universe. It just keeps going, and there's different types of poom. Rage poom, quiet poom. Aqua poom was the first poom we discovered. It's just this creature ninja poom. It's just a generic creature that she pretends to be. And rage poom knocked over all of our Sparklets water bottles.
Yes, after punching a pillow and stuffed animal throwing.
Keep an eye out for rage poom coming near you. Okay, subject right here. This is from a fellow Dustin, whose email address is @liberty.edu. You guys haven't been in the news much over the last year. Subject: Christmas dessert (parentheses) and beverage. Dustin and Mel. First off, great Christmas card you posted. Well done. Thank you. So I was eating my favorite pie, pecan, of course, and I wanted some coffee. Then I remembered your statement of putting LaCroix in coffee.
My friend asked me about this.
Oh, really? I couldn't tell if that was a one-off statement for your unofficial drink sponsor or if you actually do that. If you do, what is your favorite flavor combination? If you don't, can you discuss potential combos and report back after a taste test? Thanks, a fellow Dustin.
Nice.
So, since the inception of this podcast, LaCroix is been a code for alcohol.
It's a sparkling seltzer, spiked seltzer.
People know, people know what LaCroix is.
But Steven kind of introduced the spiked.
Maybe, but I think we were always LaCroix's. Referring to alcohol as any type of alcohol is LaCroix on this. It's just a code. For those of you that have children listening in the car.
I actually drink a ton of LaCroix.
Right.
Not alcohol. I drink LaCroix all day.
She also drinks a ton of alcohol. I'm kidding.
So we were keeping it, you and Steven were keeping it clean.
And we had
kid friendly.
We had a wine sponsor for a long time.
Yeah.
You can't mention other alcoholic beverages there. Keep it clean. We're not on here to talking about booze. That's not what we're doing here. But once again, moving forward for any new backseaters, LaCroix is cold. LaCroix is cold. That is true, ideally. But LaCroix is code for an alcoholic beverage. In that case, it was code for Caroline's coffee.
Yeah,
LaCroix.
Irish creamer.
Irish creamer. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your coffee.
But I don't know. Maybe
that's a holiday thing.
Maybe
for
LaCroix,
us.
It's the holiday
there
season.
There is also a LaCroix flavored coffee. It's flavored with coffee, but doesn't have coffee in it.
It's been sitting in our room for a while, and I just can't get to it.
I know.
Okay, here we go. Maybe one or two more. This is from our friend Belle. Hi, Belle. Subject, crying at Christmas. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. I was touched by your podcast on crying at Christmas. My favorite quote was when one of your children said, "Dad, this was the best year ever." And you said it was because of all the time your family has spent together. I've heard this many times from parents online, how being with your children so much has made them have closer relationships. And what more important than that? Christmas can certainly be a crying time after you lose someone you love, as you did your uncle. Our family lost my grandson 9 years ago. And of course, we all think of him on the holidays. Christmas has never been the same, but we pretend it is for his cousins. There's no pretending for his brother. It is hard on him. And it is a big but. God gives us the comfort and knowledge we will see him again in heaven. I picture him there and feel so happy. We will all be together once again. Thanks, guys, for a lovely show. Belle, thank you, Belle, for that nice note.
That was very touching.
For
thank
so
you,
many
Belle.
Reasons, Christmas is for crying. I told you that Christmas is like the beach and that is very happy and is very sad at the same time. I don't know why, but it's both of those things. Let's do one more. I think we already...
What do you got? Somebody sent me an Instant Pot.
Okay.
Instant Pot.
Recipe. We talked to Carolyn about her, and you responded to her about
the chicken
baby,
tortilla
right?
Soup.
And
yes.
they had their first baby who was due several days ago on October 24th. Okay, yeah.
Yep, they had emailed us that they were going to listen to us at the hospital.
That's right. That's very nice.
Yeah, then they had the baby, and then they were like, okay, you gave us that baby advice, but we need the chicken tortilla soup.
So you gave the
recipe.
Chicken tortilla soup.
And then I put it in the subscriber email.
And then you also, someone gave you a...
Better Instant Pot mashed potato recipe.
Which I believe was just butter.
I just didn't put enough butter and sour cream in it. Or cream cheese, whichever.
I mean, as a general rule. More butter. Right. Okay. Let's do this last one right here. This is from Cynthia, subject today's podcast. Dear Dustin and Melissa, I just wanted to write and say thank you so much for your show today. I love your podcast, but especially when it's you and Melissa. My favorite so far is when you told the story of the Black Widow spider. I wish I remember what episode it was so I could go back and listen again. I don't remember what episode that was, but I remember the story. Anyways, I know you've always spoken well of teachers, but I just really appreciated today's podcast. I'm a high school chemistry teacher, and it is tough. That's tough in person.
Absolutely. One of the hardest classes
is chemistry,
I took.
Chemistry is not mandatory in high school. Well, I don't know.
You
maybe
had
it is.
A different high school.
I had a different high school. Yeah, it is.
Path.
No, because you have to take it junior,
I took a junior year,
year, right?
Year.
You take a junior year. Yeah, because I went into, I had a different. So,
you did community college.
Hard class. And everybody
so
has to
hard.
Take it. So very hard class. Not a hard class that the smart kids take, a hard class that everybody has to take.
Yep.
It's so hard to connect with the kids and help them because I can't look over their shoulder and see if they're understanding what I gave them. Coming back after break just seemed extra hard because so many of our kids have chosen to be home. They do have to turn on their video. Thank goodness, though. The school is a ghost town. And what's a school without kids? Oh, that made me really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is weird. Yeah. Today, a girl told me I was assigning way too much work and wasn't taking into account how stressed everyone was. I almost cried while responding to her because I feel like I have worked really hard to be kind and understanding and not assign too much during this time. So your podcast was really what I needed, not to mention the fact that McDonald's is giving away free coffee and baked goods to teachers this week.
That's awesome.
Thanks for always making me smile, Cynthia. Cynthia, thank you for this very kind email.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a teacher and teaching a very hard thing.
Teachers are quitting.
Yeah, it's a very hard time for so many people. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's harder for anybody than parents and teachers right now.
Well, healthcare workers, but
that's true. Yeah. I take that back. Healthcare workers. I shouldn't even. There's no reason.
There's a lot of people struggling.
So many people are struggling, but it is very, very hard. You know, and for a lot of people, that's a combo. Teachers who are parents.
Yes.
Big yikes.
And
so,
healthcare workers who are parents. Yeah, yeah.
To be cliche, you know, and to say a thing that you guys have heard a lot, hang in there, folks. I am firmly convinced, and I am so often wrong, so it doesn't mean anything, that we are very clearly in the darkest before dawn moment. This is what I've been telling myself and telling others because I believe it. I think that regardless of who won the election, it needed to be over, and that drama had to be gone.
Yeah.
And hopefully everything goes real peacefully at inauguration this week. Mm-hmm. And the vaccine starts. People are starting to get the vaccine. Our dad, my dad's going to get the vaccine soon.
Next couple weeks.
You know, obviously there's been a big spike because of the holidays and people got together. And hopefully the gatherings are done for a little bit because, you know, there isn't that feeling needed. I don't know. But I hope that it's close. And you know, you can go back to just it being hard to teach chemistry in person.
Right.
Because I would have failed your class. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you. Make sure to send us those emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon. That's it, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout-out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.